We shall turn to God's Word in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18 and read at verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary, and so on. Luke chapter 18, from verse 1 to verse 8. The Lord is telling us that we ought to pray always. And indeed, prayer is the duty of all people. And a person who does not pray is a practical atheist. All people are commanded to repent, and all are commanded to pray. Simon the sorcerer, even after he offered money for the gift of the Holy Ghost, was commanded to repent of his sin and to pray. And in our prayers, we are to be persistent. The Lord Jesus gives this parable of the importunate widow. And the widow shows us that God's people are like a widow who is oppressed. She needs help from her enemy. She goes to the judge for justice. But here in the parable, the judge does not care about her. And the judge does not help her immediately. But the lesson is, after persisting and going to the judge again and again, at last the judge avenges her and vindicates her and stands in her defense. So believers are to persist in prayer. And though it may seem a long time before their prayers are heard, God truly cares for his people, and he will come for them and deliver them. He will plead their cause. He will stop the enemy, and he will hear their cries. Hear what the unjust judge saith. He says, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Well, that was the selfishness on the part of the unjust judge that would at last come for the aid of this widow. But the Lord is not unjust. He says, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He forbears to help them immediately. But when he comes, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And with the Lord's help this evening, we will notice three things. And first of all, it is the widow's persistence. And secondly, the judge's forbearance. And thirdly, the longed for deliverance, the deliverance at last. The persistence on the part of the widow, the forbearance on the part of the judge, and the deliverance that has been longed looked for. So first of all, the widow's persistence. And this is the illustration that we're to follow. We're to follow the example of this widow, importunate, being persistent in going to God for help, to help us in our need. Yes, it's a day of prayer in this congregation and the congregations of our presbytery, and we're thinking about the troubles in our church in these times, troublous times, times in which we face distresses from one sort and another, but the Lord is showing us the remedy, what recourse we are to take, and that is to go to God persistently in prayer. And that is what we seek to do on this day, to pray earnestly, to pray importunately with persistence. First of all, the widow's persistence. Verse 1, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So here we have the key to understanding the parable. Not every parable the Lord Jesus gave gives us such a key, such a statement in order to interpret the parable, to know exactly what the lesson is to be learned. But here we have, from the outset, the key to understanding the parable. And that is, it's to this end, with this end in view, the Lord gave this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. They should always pray. Are we always praying? It doesn't mean that we're always to be on our knees. We have work to do, duties to attend to, but we're to always pray at all times, morning and evening, all the stated times, in public and private, family worship, public worship, and we're to be always ready to pray, be in a prayerful frame of mind. And we should always pray mentally. That is, we should pray without ceasing, sending up short petitions in our minds to God to help us in our time of need, which is constant. And he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. And that, of course, is because there are difficulties that we must face and deal with. And the time may be long in which we have to deal with these difficulties. And there are troubles that afflict the church. And we remember, considering Psalm 46, how the psalmist is confident that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the word trouble is in the plural. Troubles, referring to many troubles, a great variety of troubles perhaps, or it may refer to complex troubles in a particular case. But the fact is, there are many troubles, trials, distresses, afflictions, adversity that the church encounters and endures. And this is what the widow here in the parable was going through. She was, her very condition was an afflicted condition. She was a widow. Her husband was deceased. She was separated from her husband by death. So she's alone, and she's vulnerable, and she is weak, and in a state of constant need of help. Well, the church is in that condition. The church is like a widow. And that is because Christ, her husband, is in heaven. Now, of course, we need to remember this is a parable, and that the things which are being compared, one thing set beside another, are not always alike in every way. They are not alike in every way. If they were alike in every single way, then there would not be a parable, but identity. The things would be identical to one another. But there is similarity, but not complete similarity. So when we say that the church is like a widow, the church is not like a widow in every way. The church is like a widow in that her spiritual husband of the church, is absent. But not completely absent, because as we considered Sabbath evening, the Lord Jesus Christ is present with his church by his Spirit. But the church is like a widow because Christ is absent, visibly absent from his people. And so the comparison is that the church is like a widow in the sense that the church is in danger. The church is vulnerable. The church is in constant need. Believers, whether you consider the church as a whole, collectively considered, or believers individually, they're in this afflicted condition, constantly in need of help from God, who is the widow's judge. So the church has constant recourse to prayer, constantly making use of prayer, going to the Lord in prayer, just like the widow was constantly going to the judge that she needed help from. There was in a city, verse 2, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She was coming, and that is what we are to be doing, coming. The word is in the imperfect tense. She came, that is, literally, she kept coming. It's in the imperfect tense, which means a past continuous process. It was in the past, but it's continually happening. So she kept coming to the judgment. We need to keep coming to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a desire out of a sense of need, and it is to humble ourselves, acknowledging that God only can meet our need. We're not self-sufficient. We are poor and needy and indeed afflicted in this world, and we're to humbly come to God and bring our requests to Him, as this woman did, who was in a state of need. And she kept coming. She was persisting. She was importunate, which means that she was shamelessly persistent in prayer. And the judge says that I will help her, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She was coming to the point that it was annoying the judge, but she didn't care about that. She wasn't ashamed to keep coming. Why? Because she was coming to a person who could help her, and she needed that help. And why? Because she was in danger. She says, avenge me of mine adversary. She was seeking justice because she was experiencing injustice from her adversary, from her enemy, her opponent. Perhaps a landlord was being very unfair and kept raising the cost of rent, or perhaps he was ready to evict her any moment. Or maybe there were bullies and scoundrels that were threatening and harassing her. And so she was going to the judge for vindication. She was innocent. She was not. She did not deserve those the harassment of the enemy. And so she was going to the judge to get protection so that the judge would rule on the side of justice. Well, the church needs justice as well. The church is experiencing cruelty and injustice from the enemy, the world, and Satan, the god of this world. How unfair the ungodly are to the church, making things hard for God's people in various ways. And Satan cruelly assaults the church. He has no right to sow division amongst the church or tempt God's people. He has no right to do these things. And God's people are praying for justice, that God would plead the cause of the afflicted and cast out the enemy. So the church is to be persistent like this widow and to be constantly coming to a throne of grace, knowing that God will stand on the side of the poor, and He will help His afflicted people, and He will rule in favor of their righteous cause. And that is why they can say, plead the cause that is thine own, because the cause of God's people is God's cause. The church belongs to Him. It's the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. The church belongs to Christ, who is God, and He certainly will come for His people. But it is not always as quickly or as soon as they wish. There may be a delay, a period, which they may have to wait for the answer, but it is not a passive waiting, because it is a persistent prayer for God's intervention. And we go on to notice in the second place the judge's forbearance. He did not immediately help this woman. The reason was he was an unjust judge. Verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was a godless man, and remember that to have no fear of God is to have the worst indictment brought against us. He was selfish. He disregarded both tables of the law, our duty towards God and towards man. And therefore, he would not for a while. When she says, avenge me of mine adversary, he would not for a while. And this again illustrates the period in which God seems to be silent and not hear his people. It seems that God is not standing up for them. He is not vindicating them. And this is a mysterious thing to God's people. They ask why. Why is God delaying to come? Why does not come and deliver his people from their enemy? This is puzzling to them. They do not understand why there is such a delay. And it exercises the faith of the church. Psalm 74, verse 10, the church is saying, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? And will this go on and on and on? Why does God not intervene? He says, why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? It's as if he's pulling back his hand of power and not reaching forth to help them. Instead, he's holding back. He says, pluck it out of thy bosom. Bring forth with thy hand to intervene and work on behalf of thy church. So this delay, this long period of time in which God is not immediately interposing on behalf of his people to rescue them from their enemy, this is taking a long time to exercise God's people's faith. Now, the reason that the judge in the parable did this was because he was unjust. He did not care about God nor regard man, and that's why he did not vindicate the widow for a long time. And that is the only reason why a judge would do that. If a widow came to a good judge, well, the judge would help her immediately. But the Lord Jesus is illustrating the length of time in which God does not come to rescue his people, even though he's a judge. Well, to use an earthly illustration, it would have to be an unjust judge. But that is not where the similarity is. God is just, but the judge who waits on earth is unjust. But the Lord is illustrating the length of time. And God withholds to rescue his people, not because he's unjust, but because in his wisdom, he is trying his people. He is exercising their graces. It's for their good, and it's in love to them. And he loves to hear their prayers. He desires to hear their voice. And at length, he will come, because he is the widow's judge, and he will plead their cause. And then the point is this, that even an unjust judge will eventually help a poor widow. The widow is so persistent. She's at the point of annoying this unjust judge. Shameless, bold, she's not concerned that what the judge thinks of her. She is determined to get an answer. She does not take refusal. And at last she gets an answer. That's what we're being taught. At last, the church will get an answer. The Lord will come for his people's rescue. So the judge says, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And that it brings us to the third point, and that is the longed-for deliverance. The Lord is telling us, hear what the unjust judge saith. Notice carefully. The unjust judge does not forever ignore the widow. Even an unjust judge will come and eventually rescue the widow. How much more will God, who cares for his people, deliver his people from their enemy? They may wait long, and he forbears a while. But he will come, because they're his people. God does not view the church as the unjust judge viewed the widow, an annoyance, she's bothering me. God does not view his people like that. God cares for his people. He views them with love. They are dear to him. They're his own elect. How, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? He has chosen them. They are the apple of his eye. The eye is valuable, and the eye is prone to injury. It calls for double protection. That's the way the Lord looks at his people. They're fragile, and they're valuable. He loves them. They are dear to him. They're his jewels. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? They are crying day and night constantly, and they should be. This is a lesson again. We're not going to get away from this. Day and night. Importunately, urgently, persistently, day and night. And he will hear their cry. He will avenge them. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? The Lord has tender regard for his people. He cares for them. As we said, he loves to hear their prayers. Like the Lord Jesus says to the church, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And one writer says that the earnest prayers of God's people are sweeter to him than the songs and praises of the angels. Think of that. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And the poor, pitiful prayers of God's people groaning after Christ and desire to follow him and deliverance and seek deliverance from the enemy, their voice is sweeter than the songs of angelic hosts. Persistent in prayer. How and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? A long time. A long time takes place. And what does it mean, though he bear long with them? Well, to get right to the point, the word with can be translated for. So we take the meaning to be, though he bear long on account of them, for them. He's bearing long for them on their behalf. Who is he bearing with? Well, he's bearing with the enemy. He's exercising long-suffering towards the foe. Yes, with his people, he's bearing with their sins and their infirmities, but perhaps it's mainly against the enemy. So he will avenge his own elect, though he bear long for them. Yes, he's forbearing to put forth his power to avenge them. A long time is going by, but he will avenge them, even though he takes a long time. Even though he takes a long time, he will vindicate them. He will plead their cause. He will rise up for them, just as we read in Psalm 78, verse 65. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep. It seemed the Lord was sleeping. It seemed he wasn't working. It even seemed he didn't care. It seemed he was unjust like the unjust, but it was all it seemed. The reality is God is looking on as carefully as he ever was, ready any moment, as it were, to help his people, because the Lord says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What does that mean? Well, just as it was a long time that they had to wait, so when he actually does work, it will be just as swift. The swiftness of God's work will be in proportion to the length of the delay. So just as it was a long time, so when he does actually work, it will be just as quick and sudden and thorough. And that is what we can look forward to. We don't know in what way, how God will work, but we do know that he will work in his own good time. And therefore, we're to go on praying persistently, and knowing that the Lord will come. He will come at the last day. And then all wrongs will be made right. He will avenge his people of their foes. The enemy will be completely destroyed. Satan will be utterly removed from the experience of God's people and never trouble them again. The context indeed seems to be the second coming of Christ. It's just after the Lord is speaking of his coming in chapter 17. And so he concludes the parable saying, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The Son of Man is going to come, and when he comes, will people believe? Will there be people on earth that actually have belief in his coming? It will be such a long time. The Lord does prepare us to wait. There is a period of waiting and persistently praying in the meantime. And it may be so long that people will just give up. That's what we see. We see this church half empty. People long ago have given up. They're not going to wait for his coming anymore. They're not going to wait for the Spirit to come and help them and make them holy. They're just going to give in to their sinful desires and live like the world. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Lord is telling us, will ye also go away? Or will you persistently pray and keep praying until you get an answer? Because that is what we're being taught. Will you still be around when Christ comes? Everybody says, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Well, when he comes, will there people be still left on the earth waiting for his coming? Well, the Lord will come and avenge his elect. They are dear to him, and he will come for their rescue in his own way. We must not forget that the coming of the Son of Man is not limited to his second coming. He comes in revival. He comes in judgment sometimes. He comes in trials sometimes. But he comes. And the context is he's coming for the help of his people. The troubles that afflict the just in number many be, but yet at length out of them all, the Lord doth set him free. He will come for the aid of his people. He will certainly give deliverance in his appointed time, and that is our encouragement to be importunate in prayer, shamelessly persistent, praying like Jacob, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." William Arnott shows us there are links in the chain of prayer, and to ask ourselves this: do we have these five links in prayer to form a chain? One, sense of need. Do you feel your need? Two, desire to get. Do you have a desire for these things that you need? Three, belief that God has it in store. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God hath laid up in store for those who fear him and trust in him and wait upon him. Belief that God has it in store. Four, belief that though he withholds a while, he loves to be asked. He withholds for a while, but God loves to be asked for it. Ask, pray, pray, pray. Why does the Lord fill his word with instructions to prayer? He desires his people to pray. He loves to hear their voice in prayer. That's the fourth link. Belief that though he withholds a while, he loves to be asked. And five, belief that asking will obtain. Belief that asking will obtain. You ask, you'll obtain, you'll receive. He says, William Arnott says, "Give me these links, and the chain will reach from earth to heaven, bringing heaven all down to me, or bearing me up into heaven." It's a chain that will reach from earth to heaven. The links of prayer in this chain. Well, the Lord is calling each of us, "Seek, and ye shall find." He offers grace and salvation, and we're to seek his face. All of us seek his face. It is free. Salvation is free, life and salvation by Jesus Christ. You, friend, without Christ, are like a widow too, oppressed and vulnerable, and perhaps even more like a widow than the believer, because you don't have a husband at all. You need to cry to the judge of all the earth for salvation. Yes, God, who is the widow's judge, go to the Lord in prayer, seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. You're in great danger from the wrath to come, but He is saying, flee from the wrath to come. Run to Jesus as the manslayer to the city of refuge. Go to him for saving help. He is the friend of sinners, calling you now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will forgive your sins. He will cover you with his righteousness, and you will find eternal protection in the Lord, our righteousness. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. De Bruin.